All right. Welcome to Both Mics.
Hey, Both Mics, a show about nothing and everything. He is Mike Sofka.
And he is Mike Dower. And together we are Both Mics.
Welcome to show number 55 of Both Mics Heard Everywhere. Podcasts can be heard. We are like dirt. We're everywhere. Find us every Friday night on twitch.tv/BothMics.
Are you there? You're freezing. You're frozen, Mike. You look cold. You just stopped moving.
Uh-oh.
Oh, I know what happened. There you are. You're back. That was me.
I'm back.
All right, good.
Show number 55.
Nice. That's amazing, isn't it?
Guess who's going to be 55 this year?
You.
That motherfucker.
Yeah, you do. Like a couple days before me. You're the old man in a room.
Yeah. Trey, I'm 4 days older than your pop.
Okay.
And
you were born in Newark?
Me?
Rahway? Rahway State Prison?
Rahway, yeah. Rahway, my first dog's name was Taffy. I went to Washington Elementary School. My first car, what are you doing?
Staten Island? Where were you born?
No, I was born in Middlesex County, Rahway, New Jersey. Thank you very much. This young man next to me is got me all choked up. This is the one, the only Vente Vanilla.
Now, we know this is not so 54. Now, I know retention may not be a strong suit, but Vente.
Is it bum 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 ba da dum bum, or is it bum 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 ba da dum bum? Which one is it?
The second one. You nailed it.
I just want to make sure. Yes. I don't want any lawsuits out there.
Yes, please respect it.
So where can they check out your work, Trey?
Spotify, Apple Music, you name it. It's probably on there. SoundCloud.com as well.
All right, good.
Good vanilla.
Well, I got great news for you, Mike. I know this is going to be a big issue for you. It was a big issue for me.
Uh-oh.
On the video, I put up a picture of Taco Bell sauce packets. Do you have some of those in your drawer of your house? Or?
Yes, we do have a packet.
How many
packets
do you have?
What's that?
Give me a ballpark. How many packets of Taco Bell sauce do you think you have?
Oh, probably between 10 and 15.
Okay, so how many customers do you think Taco Bell has?
Are we talking annually?
Yeah, sure, whatever.
Okay. All right, let's go with 50 million.
So that means they could have 500 million sauce packets out there if everybody has 10 packets just like you, right?
Yeah. I've always been surprised of the handful that they give you.
Yeah.
Right? I used to be a manager at Burger King when I was 19. For every fry burger that you order, you get one ketchup packet. That's all you need. Right? So you go to Taco Bell and I order 3 soft tacos. I need 3 mild sauces because I'm a pussy. And they give you a fucking handful. Yeah. Right? So then I bring them home and I have the awesome wife that I have who cares about things and cares about people. Me, fuck it. Throw them in the trash. I got shit to do. Not her.
Well,
we have the packet draw. With every possible, we have freaking
Arby's horsey sauce.
Yes, we do. Because they do the handful also.
Yeah,
I don't get it.
All right, well, but Taco Bell. This is according to CNN.com. Taco Bell wants you to send back your unused sauce packets so they can reuse them. I can't make this up, dude. This is the most disgusting thing I've ever heard of because I don't know where you stuck that packet. Right?
Exactly.
Taco Bell has a plan in place to recycle some 8 billion pounds of used sauce packets that go into U.S. landfills every year. So guys like you get home and they're like, fuck that, I don't need it, throw it in the trash. 8 billion pounds of unused sauce like that.
Well, no, you regulate your minimum wage people, one taco, one fucking packet.
Hey, $15 an hour gets you a handful.
Right? Unbelievable. A relative story? All right. I used to work at Super Target near their mouse.
Yeah.
The Super Target I used to work for had the most returns of any Target in the country for what two items?
Baby strollers.
Baby strollers and baby car seats.
There you go.
Yep.
Because people used to... not fly with them, go buy them, return them before they went back to get on a plane.
I remember once going in the back by the compactor and seeing an Eddie Bauer baby stroller next to the trash.
Now,
and I'm like,
now they have giant spinning rims, like 24s on it and shit.
Dude, it might as well. The thing was leather and all kinds of fucked up shit. I'm like, what? You're going to throw this away? And they're like, yeah. I go, well, my girlfriend is, she's a social worker. They could use things like this at the counter.
Right, sure.
You know, baby strollers and stuff like that. Nope. All the time. Nope. It's a liability.
Yep.
In the trash.
Nice.
In the trash. $279 stroller. In the trash.
CNN goes on to say the massive number of sauce packets thrown out every year is potentially environmentally damaging. About 710 million metric tons of plastic will pollute the environment by 2040 if action isn't taken. Follow the science,
Taco Bell
people.
And Taco Bell alone. Oh, Lord. Really?
The taco chain is hoping by 2025, packaging used by its customers will be fully recyclable.
Yeah. Okay.
They have 7,000 global locations in Taco Bell. Trey, how many sauce packets do you have in your pockets right now?
Right now, about 13.
Okay, 13.
But I was thinking about this while you guys were talking. And I'm trying to put myself in the Taco Bell employee's shoes. If they're trained, they're saying, hey, you put the taco in the bag, you put the quesadilla in the bag, and throw a handful of things in it. Now, handful can be handful.
You have large hands.
Or, yeah, it could be handful or handful.
Mm-hmm.
So it might be a semantics thing they might have to work out in training. So a handful can mean three, four, but a handful can be quite literally a handful.
It could be
something as simple as that, as the semantics of the word choice in their training. But I'm probably overthinking it, and they probably just don't care. They're like,
I wonder if like YouTube will have Taco Bell training videos. I wonder if we can look it up. Because I'll bet you their policy is one taco, one packet.
Now, see, and because of this, what I want to do is I want to collect my own Taco Bell packets. Like, I want to create some sort of recycling system, and I want to make like a giant mosaic or something out of Taco Bell packets.
That would be pretty awesome. Yeah, it would have to be like a sunset type thing, though, because of all the colors, you know, a Southwest motif of some sort because of the colors they use. Now, I'm predicting you're a Diablo kind of guy.
I used to be, but now that I'm older, I've gone back down to hot or fire.
Yeah, yeah. I think they got rid of Diablo because my wife would go for that. But now, yeah, she's a fire person and I'm a mild person. So we have two handfuls of Taco Bell sauce thrown in the bag when we leave the Taco Bell.
Well, I'm putting up a picture of McDonald's here. McDonald's in Vancouver. This is according to the NewYorkPost.com. I don't know how the New York Post travels cross country to cover stories. But anyway, a man was crushed to death by his own car at a McDonald's drive-thru in Vancouver in what police called a heartbreaking freak accident. The man, who has not yet been identified by police, was at the fast food eatery on Main Street at 5:30 a.m.
Yep, Main Street, huh?
Yeah.
Dumbass.
Efforts were made. This is the Vancouver Police Constable, Tanya Vicentine. Efforts were made by the first responders to revive the man, but he tragically died on the scene. This is absolutely a heartbreaking scenario.
All right, so let me guess. He died at the drive-thru. Did he, like, stick his head out the window and got it caught between the car and the drive-thru window? Or, like, get out of the car or try to – he was doing something he shouldn't have been doing, right?
Yes. According to the San Jose Mercury News, the man had dropped his bank card and got out of the car to pick it up, and the vehicle ran him over.
So the timing of this begs the question. 5:30 a.m., was he still out? Or was he just getting started?
Just
with
waking up.
He was waiting for the soft serve ice cream machine to be working.
Right? Now, what did the guy from Vancouver say before he died? Hey, watch this.
Right. Hold my beer.
Let me get my card.
Gosh.
Dummy. Yeah.
I think it's almost time here. Let me double check. Yes, it is time. It's time for the alien update. And if I can find the card quick enough, that would have gone a lot smoother. That would have been cool.
We'll clean it up in post.
Fuck, look, an alien! Where?
Fuck! Warning! Alien approaching! Warning! Biophysical experiments extremely dangerous for Earth people.
That's a pretty good robot.
He's a little bit of an alien, too. But I think he's mostly... He's an alien robot. You could be an alien robot, right? Like, not all robots are domestic.
I computed the aliens. They are capable of sinister and dangerous acts.
You weird alien man!
Alright, so check it out.
Aliens!
Yes. This is great. You're going to like this a lot.
Okay.
We talked about Amazon having these pop-ups. They're going to service the walk-in retail customer as well. Not just the got-to-wait-for-delivery. So they're opening up these little stores like Amazon Go. They're taking the same technology to the Whole Foods, which they owe. And it's Amazon's just-walked-out tech. Just-walk-out. So you can go in, get your stuff, and walk out. I imagine there's some sort of scanning of something. Like,
God, if only we had an article that explained it.
I know, right? According to Engadget.com, Amazon, the owner of Whole Foods, is bringing the sort of high-tech features we were expecting the nationwide grocery store to bring. In cashierless, its just walkout tech will soon arrive at two Whole Foods locations after starting off in Amazon's own Go grocery stores.
All right. My guess on how this works, you get your shopping cart, you walk in the store, you get weighed, probably without even knowing you're getting weighed. On your phone, you scan the products you want, you put them in your cart. Your phone knows what you're putting in the cart and knows the weight of that particular item. That's how the self-scanners work now. You know, it says, put item in bag. It knows how much that bag of Doritos.
So it knows a gallon of milk is 7 pounds. It knows.
Right, exactly. So yeah, it knows. And then you get weighed on the way out. If you're in that correct weight area, you're good to go.
How I think they should charge you at buffets. You weigh before you go in, and then you weigh again on the way out, and then charge you per pound.
Yeah, but then people like us lose.
No, but what you do is you walk in with paperweights in your pocket. Put them down.
There you go.
And then you walk out.
They
have to give you money by that logic. Like, if you put two 10-pound weights in your pocket,
yes.
Take them out. Put them on the floor at your table.
Yes.
You eat. They owe you money.
I like it.
Take a massive dump.
Yeah. Yes. You're good.
According to Engadget.com, they're saying that multiple cameras in the ceiling monitor shoppers who check in with their Amazon account as they pass through turnstiles. Shelves have sensors to detect when shoppers take items, like you had said, and it's pretty amazing. So to Amazon's credit, it's quick to refund when it makes a mistake, because it has made some mistakes when they were doing this article where they had it make a mistake on them as well. So yada, 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 stuff, jumbo, jumbo. I like the idea. I think there should be. I think everything should be like this. But nothing bugs me more than getting ready to leave a grocery store and having to wait. You should be waiting for me to give you my money. There should be a line of cashiers waiting for me. I'm giving you money. I'm giving you business, and you're gonna make me stand here and wait and get cold and go, well, maybe I don't need both steaks. Maybe my wife can just watch me eat one. You know, I mean, I might be thinking stuff like that.
Yeah, Home Depot has got those self-service ones now, too, and they won't even open a regular cashier register anymore. They'll just have, like, someone hang around and help you scan your stuff. You know, I refuse to go to a self-service scanning one on principle.
Do you like the self-serve thing?
I don't, because they're putting labor on you at that point, and they're saving money on the labor, but the prices of the goods are going down. So if they did something where if you self-checkout, you get 5% off your purchase, I'd be with it. Because you're saving them the labor costs of having a cashier manually check your stuff out. Otherwise, like it just doesn't make sense. Because then if an issue does occur, the little wee, wee, wee light goes on above your thing. You have to sit there. And if you're buying alcohol, you have to wait with an ID like an idiot. And you're like, oh, yeah, I'm trying to buy this. Like, it just prolongs the process. While meanwhile, if you had a cashier, oh, ID, boom, 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 you're out the door. So I think if they did some type of, like,
incentive.
Yeah, it's incentivized going to the self-checkout because you're sure as hell getting
But see, here's the thing. I think if you go through self-checkout, you're entitled to one free item. Whatever you have in your basket, one of those things is free. And that's the cost of you. And then if you get caught on the way out the door, you can go, what's my fault? You never trained me on this high-tech equipment. I didn't know. I thought it was Amazon. Just take it and go.
Are you eligible for employee of the month if you self-checkout yourself?
There you go. That's what I want.
I'm just saying. I think we should be eligible. We should be eligible for benefits, employee discount, because we're doing the work for them.
I totally agree.
In the 90s, I worked for Pathmark supermarkets in New York and New Jersey. And it was a union job. And the company was looking always to cut corners. And it came up like, hey, look, they have this new self-checkout thing. And it's four self-checkouts. And it takes one person to operate the four checkouts. So the union came along and said, yeah, no, that's not happening. Because, you know, by doing that,
you're going to saw their union fees dropping by 75%.
So it never happened when I worked for him. And I left the company in 99 when I moved to join the circus there with Mike at the RFC. And I don't know if it ever happened because the unions are still there, but the company's now out of business. So maybe if they went with the one cashier instead of the four, they'd still be in business.
Wow.
Who knows? So.
Wow.
Yeah. A lot of friends got put out of work there. Oh, well. Next.
All right, well, Amazon also has something else going on now. I don't know if you're aware. This is part of Amazon Luna. You know what that is?
Luna? L-U-N-A?
Yep.
Something to do with the moon? Or well, nighttime?
It's gaming, from what I can understand here. You know about this?
I do not know.
This according to 9to5google.com, Amazon Luna adding Chromebook support, the $2.99 family channel, and couch mode multiplayer. From what I'm gathering from scanning through this article here, you can play games with other people that you know, and you can, this is all, you don't, I guess you don't have to go out and buy the $500 console, and you don't have to go out and buy the $80 game. You just pay them monthly. Some of the notable titles they're using right now are called SpongeBob SquarePants, Battle for Bikini Bottom. That sounds X-rated. Rehydrated Garfield Kart, Famous Racing, Furious Racing, Space Otter Charlie, DreamWorks Dragons, Dawn of the New Riders, and Transformers Battlegrounds.
Sounds like all the top names.
This is a no-brainer. Why should I go to the store, buy a $500, $600 console, then buy $80 games, when I just pay monthly and use it as I go?
Well, because they don't have the $80 games. The only name there was SpongeBob SquarePants, and how exciting can that be?
Well, Amazon's also getting ready to launch their TVs. We talked about this in the past, too, where they have Amazon Fire Stick and stuff loaded already on the TVs. They're also going to load TikTok. Your TikTok is going to be on your Amazon TV.
Nice. Really?
Yeah.
Okay, so it was like hours and hours of just watching videos?
I don't know. It's owned by the Chinese military, though, so I'd be careful with that shit.
Exactly.
Do you like TikTok? You like TikTok.
Yeah, I dabble in it occasionally. I'm not super into it, but I just missed the demo for it, so I get it. I get why people enjoy it. I'm just not too far into it.
Amazon will give all Prime subscribers access to four games, Resident Evil 7 Biohazard Gold Edition. Damn, I like the silver one better. Damn it! Metro Exodus, Katamari Damacy Reroll, and Monster Boy and the Cursed Kingdom for free, with no invite needed from September 9th through September 15th. And then Amazon will also start selling the Luna controller bundled with the Fire TV Stick 4K Max, Fire HD 10 tablet, and Fire HD 8, yada yada. They're packaging their shit.
Yeah, exactly. And they do have a couple names in there you mentioned that sound familiar as far as popularity. Granted, I would have no clue what's popular nowadays. You know, I don't know if they still are.
Trey?
I don't know. I'm a little bit out of the loop on that myself.
Yeah, I haven't been in on that in a while.
All right. All grown up. My boy's all grown up.
Yeah, I'm still rocking with NCAA football 2014. Nice. When I am choosing the game or something. So.
Nice. I just got the text from our boy.
Uh-oh.
He is on his way here, so I'm going to queue up his card, queue up his music here.
All right.
For our guy, Mike Stradamus. He's going to show up here in his limo, and I guess he's going to leave on the carpet again. We'll find out here in a minute.
All right, let me go get the door for him.
All right, please. Michael, how are you? Hello.
Hello, Excellency. Hey, folks. We have a famous safari guide with us tonight. The all-knowing, all-seeing, omniscient, and former electronics salesman from the Crazy Eddie from the corner of 4th and Lexington. I give you Mike Stradamus.
Thank you. Thank you, young Michael. How are you today?
Excellent, sir. Excellent. Welcome. We have been waiting to hear your infinite wisdom. We have your envelopes right here. Right here. They have hermetically sealed and been stored in a mayonnaise jar at 4th and Lexington since noon today. But you, in your borderline and divine wisdom, without ever seeing the contents, you and you alone know the answers to the questions in these envelopes. I present to you your first envelope.
Ah, my first envelope. Thank you, young Michael. Thank you, hero. Oh, God.
You got it?
It's hot every time I reach my hand through that flow code there.
Sweaty, too.
Now, I have the answer to the question in this sealed envelope. I'm going to give you the answer, open the envelope, and give you the question. The first answer is eclipse it. Like you saw the lunar eclipse. Eclipse it.
Eclipse it.
Yes. How does the moon cut his hair?
Eclipse it.
Hey, Mike, you know what? May the only moon you see tonight be your neighbor's.
Nice, nice. I have your second envelope right here.
Ah, yes, the second question. The second answer. Here we go. Oh. Whew. We got to get like a straight pneumatic tube that goes from here to there instead of reaching my hand through there.
That's not what we're using now?
No. Okay. I feel like I should be wearing a lead apron or something with that thing. they're gonna tell me that I'm dying of something in a few years, and if only I kept my hand out of the internet, I'd be good.
It's the yellow number 5 that's going to get you.
The answer is guess he was right.
Guess he was right.
Some guy called me a tool, so I got hammered and nailed his girlfriend. Guess he was right.
Guess he was right.
Hey, Mike, may all your wood be warped. How about that?
Or petrified?
You have my final question and answer.
Somewhere, yeah. I have your final envelope right here.
Perfect. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, this is going to be a good one. We're going to have to pay Disney for this one, I know. The answer is Darth Vader. Darth Vader.
Darth Vader.
Do you know who was the first black guy to admit he was a father?
Okay.
You know what, Mike? On my way out, and you can email mike_taylor@bothmikes.com. Let's give the Skywalker family a hand. Get it? All right, I'm going to cue up the music again. I'm out. Maestro, I'm out.
Ciao.
I'm not going to continue to have this bickering and arguing. I know you're an intern and you're not full time yet, but you tell me he grabs your ass every time. You have nothing to do with it. All right. Go ahead. Call John Morgan.
For the people.
Really? Every time. There he goes. There he goes on his carpet. There he goes. The only guy in show business that arrives in a limo and leaves on a carpet.
Okay.
Where were we? You have a Roomba!
Yes!
You like it?
Yes and no.
Explain to somebody who might not know what a Roomba is. Tell people what a Roomba is.
A Roomba is a... basically a robot vacuum that smears dog shit all over your house.
Hmm. That's funny you should say that. According to CNN.com. The new Roomba uses AI to avoid smearing dog poop all over your house.
It's actually pretty decent. It gets hung up a lot, and it will get tangled up in certain stuff. Cat toys, dog toys, sliding glass door ledges and stuff like that. Yeah, but it's decent. It's good for, like, dog hair and, like, dust. It doesn't pick up, like... big stuff, but it you know, plus it's hopscotch. It's just like a pinball. It goes around your house. It doesn't do anything in any kind of organized fashion, but if you run it like every night, you know, by the end of the week you get like a full vacuuming done.
Well, according to CNN.com, so this must be true. In November 2014, Chantel Darby, right? Chantel Darby awoke to an excrement-fueled nightmare. Her Roomba robot vacuum was set to run in the middle of the night while she, her husband, and their dogs were asleep. But one of the three dogs, a foster named McGregor, pooped in the house at around the same time. When Darby got up in the morning, there was poop smeared throughout most of her home. She says, I remember walking into my office and it looked like a murder scene, but with poop. In her office, she said, the Roomba ran over a power cord, then kept roving in circles because it was stuck on the cord, tracks yep. reminiscent of crop circles in poop. They had to throw out their rug, power cords, and after her husband tried and failed to clean it, they had to throw out the Roomba as well.
Yeah.
So I guess Roomba's responding to this. Have you had the poop smear?
No, luckily not. It just gets hung up, you know. And, like, all of a sudden, you won't hear it anymore. So you got to go find it.
It's like a little kid. You got to be careful when they're quiet.
Yep. Is it under the credenza? Did it make it into the living room? Is it under the dining room table? Where is it? And, usually it'll have something curled up in it. And it'll just stop and you're SOL, you know? It's also remote control. They have an app. So, like, you could be on vacation in Acapulco. And you're like, I need to vacuum my floor. And you can set it off to run while no one's home for no reason. Because no one's home to make a mess. But, yeah, you could schedule it the whole nine yards. I never would buy one, but we got it as a gift. So, like, after it sitting in the box for, like, 10 months, I decided to take it out of the box and use it.
See, this is a job I wanted to have. I wanted to be the tester for this because... this person, their name is Angle. I didn't read through the whole thing here. Oh, wait. It's the iRobot co-founder and CEO, Colin Angle. Okay. He said over time, iRobot spent years building a library of pictures of poop, real and fake. The company began, he said, buying all the realistic gag poop you could buy on the internet. Then they branched out into making hundreds of Play-Doh poop models, which he painted brown and photographed in different lighting from different angles. He thinks every iRobot employee with a pet has had the animal's waste photographed from multiple angles. So, yes, I would have liked to have tested that, I think. Not the real poop situation, but, you know, making Play-Doh poop. I mean, that's your job. What do you do for a living? I make Play-Doh poop. I mean, really?
Right. It's almost like the guys that make Lego sculptures for a living.
What do you think, Trey? Play-Doh poop? Is that a job for you?
No, not for me. It is interesting that it sounds like a multi-month project, and the research and development team at, what was it, iRobot?
Yes, yes.
Was that the name of it? The research and development team at iRobot were, like, a hard day at the office. They come down, they take their hat off, put it on the dinner table.
Honey, I know you think I don't work at work, but this shit is hard.
Yeah. Honey, work. Another shitty day at the office,
right?
Like the wives are and husbands that probably had to hear all the puns in the first week of the research and development that went into this poop project, for lack of a better term. I think it'd be funny the first week, but week 7, yeah. 8, 9, and 10, I'm over this shit. Like, I'm done with it. Like, I'm out. I'm all out. So I feel bad for the people who were working on this for 3-4 months, and they've probably seen some real bad photos of some dog shits. Real bad.
Angle goes on to say that the company is confident enough in the vacuum's ability to avoid pet waste that it will replace any J7 Plus vacuums that get in deep doo-doo.
Nice.
Hey, if nothing else, they got some press out of it. They got some marketing out of it.
I would say that the big downfall is that they find the port where they need to go charge automatically. But, like, if the dog comes by or the kid comes by and kind of jostles it, next thing you know, your vacuum's not charged. And it's a pain in the ass to maneuver it by hand to get onto the actual pads that charge it. So that's the thing I like the least of it. You know, even though we're past that part of the segment where we were talking about it, but that's the downfall of having it that I didn't like.
Yeah, so how effective is it? Like, whenever I see someone with, like, someone's Roomba, it doesn't seem like it's doing anything. It just seems like a gadget that seems great in theory, but every time I see it do, like, the serpentine pattern on the floor, I don't really see a difference.
Yeah. Well, it you know, you have to empty it. Yeah, like the one that's pictured here is self-emptying, but like the one I have is, you know, kind of a Bobo model, and it needs to be emptied on its own. And like I said, it's a lot of dust, and it's, you know, dog hair, cat hair, and there's, you know, when you go to empty it, it's not a lot of trash in there. It's just a lot of dust and hair and fuzzballs and stuff. So it's not, you know, it's not the best thing in the world, but, you know, it keeps things clean. Okay. For the most part.
Speaking of not the best thing in the world, Microsoft Office zero-day vulnerability that allows remote code execution. They're actively being exploited here. What's happened is people were able to hack in your shit. I mean, I'll just put it together. You know, anyway. This is according to TechSpot.com. Microsoft has received reports of remote code execution, otherwise known as RCE vulnerability. Hackers are actively exploiting. The attack uses maliciously crafted Microsoft Office files that open an ActiveX control using the blah, 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 blah browser rendering engine. Vulnerable systems include Windows Server 2008 through 2019 and Windows 7 through 10.
Huh?
Yeah, I didn't know anybody was still on Windows 7.
Can you repeat that?
Yeah, basically, they can get into your shit. They can put files in there somehow, disguised as Word documents, etc., and it'll become these executable files that can be tapped into remotely so somebody can get into your stuff.
Yeah. All
are you an Apple guy or Microsoft?
I'm an Apple
He's
guy.
An Apple guy.
I don't have to deal with any of this garbage.
Okay.
Whatever. Yeah.
Easy peasy.
I've never,
turn it off, no problems.
I've never bought an Apple product. I was given an iPod, freaking 13 years ago, and that's the only Apple product I've ever owned. So, I've gotten this far, so get off my lawn.
Well, I guess you got to be careful if you're opening any Microsoft Office type files that you may or may not be familiar with. So, word it wise.
Yep.
Looking ahead here, I'm not going to put the picture up yet. I'm going to ask you a question, okay?
Okay.
Do you remember as a little kid, and maybe even as a grown-up, I think last year was affected with the COVID, but do you remember seeing those giant balloons in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade?
Of course, yeah.
What are some of your favorite balloons that you've seen?
Bullwinkle is always a favorite.
Yeah.
Snoopy.
Hey, Rookie!
yeah, growing up real close to New York City and eventually moving to Florida, I wanted my children to have as much experience as I had growing up near New York City. So one night, the night before Thanksgiving, I took the kids down to the American something museum.
American Museum of Natural History.
Yeah. There we go. Right where the Hayden Planetarium is, Central Park West, that whole area, Central Park West and 83rd Street, where they blow up these balloons the night before. So I took the kids, threw them in the car, freezing outside, took them down there, couldn't find parking, parked in a press reporter parking spot, and took the kids, walked around, and let them see all the balloons being blown up. So I could say I've at least seen them. I've never seen the parade in person. Always see it on TV. So I'm guessing, is there new balloons this year?
There is a new balloon, and I want you to guess what the new balloon is, or you already know.
I don't already know. Let's see. A new balloon this year. Is it classic something, or is it something modern?
A little bit of both.
Yeah.
Really?
It really is. Like I can second that. It's...
Let's see. So is it a balloon that's being updated?
No. It's a brand new, never before appeared. To my knowledge.
Is it Paw Patrol?
No, that's racist. You can't watch Paw Patrol anymore.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Kids!
It's the first Star Wars balloon. I'll give you a hint. It's the first Star Wars balloon.
Wow.
At the Macy's Parade. And it's going to be like a Funko Pop one.
Oh, I thought it was going to be Luke Skywalker's hand.
Yes, just the hand. It's, I'm going to put up the picture here. So
a Funko Pop.
It's Baby Yoda.
Oh, get out of here. Yeah. Okay. So it's classic, but brand new.
See?
Wow.
See, we weren't lying. It's a modern take on a classic.
So, here's my question. How did they decide on this? Is that the most appealing and the most popular thing now is the Baby Yoda? Is that why?
Yeah. Well, they hit on everything. I'm sure there's an Elmo one. I'm sure there was a Cabbage Patch one. You know, as time goes on and a new thing is cool, they kind of they latch onto it. I could see.
I think they're also taking into account the viral aspect of it. Like you've seen all a bunch of memes on social media using the Baby Yoda. Yeah. So they're just looking to cash in on that as well. It's all cash grab.
So is there going to be people behind it, like with giant bubbles, where you could say different things coming out of his mouth?
Yeah, could be. There's an opportunity right there.
There you go.
Well, What's strange about it, though, is I think the parade is typically done on NBC, which is a Universal company.
There you go. Disney's sticking it to Universal once again.
Right?
But or Universal sticking it to Disney, one of the two. No.
Right?
Disney's sticking it to Universal in this case, because they own ABC, ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
They own Star Wars.
But it's Channel 4, NBC's Universal's parade. So they asked...
Oh, I didn't know that. I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah. Universal and NBC, same company. And Macy's, all involved. Yeah.
Anyway, Funko has collaborated with Lucasfilm to develop a line of bobbleheads, deluxe bobbleheads, keychains, and apparel based on this balloon here. So it's going to be interesting. So there's a marketing thing in it as well. That's amazing.
Of course.
They already got some of the stuff they're showing here.
Don't they do a Macy's parade or a Thanksgiving parade like this at Universal?
I think they do.
Yeah, with the balloons and whatnot.
I think the day after the Thanksgiving parade or that week, they send all the floats and they send all the people that can physically go and go to Universal, and they do have an appearance. At least they have in the past, anyway, the Macy's right. Thanksgiving parade.
That's what I remember.
But think about it. I mean, it could be R2-D2, Darth Vader, Jar Jar Binks. That's my pick.
Oh, Lord.
Well, it's interesting that it's been around, like Star Wars as a brand has been around for what? What's it say, 44 years? Yeah, it's been around in pop culture for 44 years.
1977.
This is the first. Like, that's the most shocking thing to me, is that this is the first.
Yeah, that's surprising, too, you know, thinking about it.
Well, I think what's happened is they've converted it to dollars and come out with a projection of how much extra shit they're going to sell after this thing makes the appearance in a parade. And they're like, yeah, it's well worth it. They can't buy advertising like that.
Yep.
Do they have to pay to put that thing in the parade?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah?
100%.
How much do you think they have to pay? I don't know. I don't have a way to find out.
It's either going to be way higher than we think or way lower than we think.
But not what we think.
Not what we think. No.
Why don't you put that in the Google machine real quick there and see how much does it cost?
Hey, Google machine.
Yes.
Okay.
How much does it cost to put a float or a balloon in Macy's parade?
Is there a cost?
There you go. Is there a cost? Yeah.
The Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade wouldn't be complete without its fancy floats, but these roving works of arts don't come cheap. Now, there's a range here. Give me your guess.
Well, that's how much it costs to produce, you're saying, not the entry fee?
Yeah.
I want to know how much the entry fee is.
Well, how much do you think they cost on average? We'll go with that as I look for...
100 grand.
Mike, what do you think?
101 grand.
Price is right. Rules.
Damn it!
Most cost between $780,000 and $2.6 million.
Jesus!
Wow. And how long? Does it say how long
it takes?
It
says beyond the decorations and supplies, considerable manpower is required to build the float. So they're jacking up the labor rates to
oh, yeah!
Like you I'm the balloon guy. Done in China?
Yeah, right?
Let's see. Each parade float must be collapsible to a width of no more than 8.5 feet to get it through the Lincoln Tunnel.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't think of that. Wow.
Right?
Yeah, it says it takes temporary staff of about 40 people, at least in a normal year. Its salaries combined for the work to be $1.3 million to get everything done and handled and ready to go for the parade.
All right. Well, I got the Google machine working here. Sponsoring a balloon Macy's parade is a big investment. So many sponsors opt to participate for several years. In these cases, a new balloon doesn't need to be constructed, so the fee drops to $90,000.
Wow.
See, I would have gone way higher.
Yeah. That's a year, though. So, Charles Schultz is coming up with 90 grand, or the Charles Schultz estate is coming up with 90 grand a year to have Snoopy in the damn parade.
Do they charge Santa Claus to be in the parade at the end?
Probably. I don't know. You tell us.
Wait, you know Santa?
Yes, I do.
Oh,
wow. He sees you when you're sleeping.
That's creepy. Okay.
I put up a picture here on the video of some Walt Disney World tickets.
Yeah. There's about $600 in that guy's hand right there.
Yeah. Mike, you and I worked on Disney property for a while, and as a third-party vendor, that was one of the perks, right?
Yes.
Not no more! Walt Disney World will no longer, reportedly, this is according to WDWNT.com, that's the Walt Disney World News Times, whatever it's called. Listen to this. Walt Disney World will reportedly no longer offer standard cast member perks to most, if not all, employees of third-party vendors. Several third-party vendors, operating participants, as they're called, employ cast members throughout Walt Disney World, so it will likely impact many employees. Good idea, bad idea, Mike?
I think it's a good idea in a way, because when you go into the parks lately, and you look around, and you see like unsavory people, they're probably cast members, probably third party participants. And plus they just updated the downtown Disney area with all those shops. So they probably have probably close to the same amount of non-employees on working on property than they do actual cast members working on property.
I think they have more third party employees. I really do. Because remember years ago when you and I have direct connection to this, Disney was smart enough years ago to recognize that they're killing themselves trying to be a food manufacturer, fast food service, laundry, all these things. So what they did was they started hiring outside parties, and that's how these big names started forming partnerships. And Disney can make more money that way. They make 25 cents off every dollar gross that comes in. The expenses are left to the third party, but they get the first quarter of every dollar that comes in. If I'm a third-party vendor, that's one of the things, especially in today's tight labor market, that I'm using to attract employees. Hey, you get free entry into Disney parks and so forth. It sounds like a nickel and dime thing by Disney. I mean, I'm sure it's expensive, don't get me wrong.
And also, being a third-party participant, like you had your own ID, and that got you into the parks, no problem.
Oh, these are extra tickets on top of that, yeah.
Yeah, and then like Christmas time, we got extra tickets. But then they have the what they call the main gate pass.
Yes.
They didn't get them until like 3 years down the road. So you had to be a third party participant employee for 3 years to get the main gate. Managers got them right away or after 3 months. Cast members themselves, after 3 months, get this main gate pass.
And the main gate pass is like a park hopper, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And they can use it like 10 or 12 times a year and get three people in. So.
Wow.
Yeah, it's gonna bring the amount of people into the park down, and it's gonna elevate the level of person that goes into it, into the park.
Well, I'm gonna scrap some things and I'm gonna go over Mike-isms. You don't happen to have those handy, do you?
Of course I do.
All right, because I remember some of them. Now, wait, this is we're going to ask Trey about some of these, okay? Because when Trey was little, these are some of the rules we used to discuss here.
Okay,
so Trey might be familiar with some of them. Trey, what's rule number one? Mike is
don't
number
be a
one.
Dick.
If it's too good to be true, it probably is.
True.
Something along those lines.
Everything's fake, right, Mike?
Everything is fake is number one.
Okay.
But right. What Trey mentioned is on the list somewhere along the line.
How about Mike is a number two, Trey?
People suck and they're stupid.
You are correct.
What was the first? I only heard part of that.
I said people suck and they're stupid.
Oh, people suck and they're stupid. People are stupid is number two.
How about Mike is a number three, Trey? You remember growing up with this one?
Yeah, I think Stone Cold Steve Austin said it best. DTA. Don't trust anybody.
That's correct. See? Now, Mike, you thought I was just pulling this shit out of my head, that I really didn't discuss these things with my children, right? There's no way I really use this as a method to teach children. But I did. We'd be going to a park or something. Okay, what are the rules? You know, and we would just talk about these things.
Don't tap your foot in the bathroom.
Yes. No. All right.
That
Mike.
One?
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No.
Oh, okay, Mike, what is Mike-ism number four?
Don't tell anyone anything they don't need to know.
Exactly.
That's fair.
Yeah. Well, officer, I only had 5 years.
In parentheses?
Years.
Yeah. And I always put in parentheses, some things are better left unsaid.
That is correct. Go ahead. What number are we up to now? Five?
Five. Okay, I must have been drunk this night because I can't. Measure twice, cut once.
Yes. Yes. Why wouldn't you measure do that? Why, yes. Oh, fuck it. It's about a foot. Cut it. You know? No.
Yep. No. Oh, it's too short.
Screw some of that shit back on.
And not with just, wood or actually cutting things. It could be a metaphor for other things. You know, double check what the fuck you're doing before you freaking pull the trigger.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Makes sense. Yeah. There's a metaphor I heard more recently. It says you can't put the toothpaste back in the tube.
There you go.
If you're gonna squeeze it out, you make sure it's right. Like you can't put it back. All right.
What's Mike-ism number six?
This one is guilty by association.
Okay. So if I'm with some people and they do something bad, I'm in trouble too, right?
Yep. And you'll be labeled a bad person or a near-to-well. just because you're associated with those people.
All right.
And it's not an easy boat to turn around to kind of get back in the good graces of people once they think that you're a ne'er-do-well.
How about Mike Ism number seven?
Seven. This is a good one for an Italian family. Never go against the family.
Never go against the family. Yep. So you can pick on your sister all you want, but when the kid down the street does it, you have to beat the shit out of him.
Exactly, exactly. She might be a window licker, but she's our window licker.
Yes, all right? Exactly. Exactly. Never go against the family. Mike-ism number eight.
Be aware of your surroundings.
Be aware of your surroundings. You walk into somewhere, know where the exit is in case there's a terrorist shooting or a fire. Put your back up against the wall, in the corner, all that shit, so nobody can come up behind you. Be aware of your surroundings.
Exactly. I was flying last week, and it's something I do on every flight. You know, not how far away is the exit. How many rows do I have to count in the dark, in the smoke, to get to the exit?
How many fat guys are going to clog up the aisles? I'm trying to get out.
Oh, God. Yeah, Kevin Smith again? Jesus Christ. All right.
Mike-ism number nine.
There are no secrets.
There are no secrets. The internet has taught us that.
Yes, yes. Exactly. Yeah, and Trey might know this from another podcast we both listened to about all the cool things that used to be a secret.
Yeah.
You know, now they're not because everybody knows about the cool, you know, over the ocean cabanas in the Maldives, way out or Tahiti and all those cool places.
Yeah. Nope. Because everyone wants to be the one to share it.
Right.
When,
right.
When everyone is the one to share it, then, like you said, there are no more secrets and everything is ruined and everything sucks.
Mike-ism number 10.
And of course, is an accumulation of all these particular, the previous nine. Life isn't fair.
It's not. That's
suck
not
it up,
fair. No shit. That's what it is. You're right. It's not fair. Yeah. You're right. You're right. Some things are going to be unfair. You got to deal with it. I had to deal with it. You dealt with it. Our fathers dealt with it. Our grandparents dealt with it. It's not fair. It's not a balanced level playground for anyone. There's people out there that have it better than you. There's people out there that have it worse than you. Be lucky you're not one of them. Look on the right side. All right. Is that where we stopped with 10 Mike-isms, right?
I guess, yeah. Yeah, that's what we have for now.
Okay.
Until Moses comes down with another tablet,
right?
We're good with 10.
Well, there you go. Well, I've added back by popular demand the Mike-isms.
Yes.
And we're about 6.5 minutes to go. I do have a couple other things to discuss here, but let me see. NASA. Do you know what that is?
The moon.
Something close. Very Uranus. Close to the moon. It's an asteroid.
Okay.
Okay.
So it's farther than a moon.
This is NASA animation of a 700 quintillion asteroid, whatever that means.
Wait, is that Bruce Willis in the background?
Yes, it is. It is.
I'm hearing Aerosmith right now.
Yes. They made this into an IMAX so you can appreciate the state of the art. Yeah, come on. What are we doing? Are you in the movie business or are you in the space exploration business? Do I have to pay $13.50 to see this on the surround screen at the matinee? $22.50 in the evening?
I have there's actually an IMAX across the street from where I live, or right next to Bill Murray's restaurant. There's an IMAX theater. I should go over and see if Armageddon 2 is playing.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, I bring that up because there was something else that was discovered recently. If I can get to it quick enough here. I'm going to put this picture up. You tell me what those things look like.
They look like socks thrown on the floor.
They're calling them dog bones. They're calling them dog bone asteroids. These are the clearest images they have of these. Dog bone asteroids. This is from Cleopatra, better known as the dog bone asteroid for its two-lobed shape. It's about 167 miles long and has its own pair of moons.
Wow. Okay, so this is one asteroid. It's just seven different pictures of it?
I'm thinking it's a... I don't know. Dude, I didn't read the fucking thing. I just looked at the picture in the shiny object and downloaded it.
Okay.
The quadrillion I was talking about, that's in tons. So they're saying they've calculated the mass of this asteroid at 3.27 quadrillion tons, or 2.97 quadrillion metric tons for those Canadian listeners we have. Turns out to be 35% lower than previously estimated. Yada, 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 yada.
Thank God.
Space talk, space talk. Big Seinfeld, words.
Seinfeld, space
astronauts,
talk.
Whatever, blah, blah, blah. I just want to know, are dogs going to be barking at the moon now?
Yes. Yes. Along with Ozzy Osbourne, they'll be out there eventually.
Now, I know I didn't bring up the alien update, or maybe I did earlier. Yeah, I did earlier, but this is something I wanted to add at the end here. What is that a picture of?
Someone's GPS navigation device doohickey-flicky in their car.
Close. That's Tesla. Tesla's Musk says something called FSD-10 will blow minds. And this is through a test group they have. This is about the self-driving vehicles. The full self-driving. That's what FSD is. Full self-driving version 10. They're rolling that out. It's expected to come out on Friday. I imagine they're talking about next Friday. This is Friday here now. The beta program was launched in 2020 and gave a small number of Tesla drivers the opportunity to experience Tesla's most robust FSD software yet.
Okay. Now, if it talks to you and it has a female voice, I'm not going to trust it. Sorry.
No, I've been in a car with my wife. We've had the GPS on and the things like, take the next left. And my wife's like, oh, no, don't do that. Go straight. And who are you listening to at that point?
Right? Exactly. That's I just wouldn't listen to it. I wouldn't trust
just
it.
Just get out. Don't listen to either one of them. Just get out of the car. Trey, you have a Tesla, right?
Oh, yeah. I think I drove the
Plaid.
Yeah, I drove the Friday driver over here. The Saturday driver's getting worked on in the shop. It's a little embarrassing, but I'm going to have to drive the Friday driver 2 days in a row. And it's not
wow.
Bad. You've been in a self-driving vehicle?
I have not, and I'm a little scared, too. I'm not really about it.
What was that?
What was good?
There was a little something on the microphone here, so I got it off.
A little pizza?
Yes.
Oh. Yeah, a little pizza crust on it. But yeah, I'm out on the self-driving because I just don't think it's there yet. To me, it's kind of like the Roomba. Like I don't think the benefit is there yet to invest in it. I think it will be at some point, but I just don't think.
Yeah, of course.
I just don't think it's there yet.
All right.
Well, now my wife's vehicle, she has the Honda Pilot, the maximum, all the buzzers and whistles, all-wheel drive, you know, whatever vehicle. And it's probably the closest thing to self-driving as you can get, and it's completely freaking annoying. You know, you put your cruise control on, and you come up to somebody in front of you who's doing 3 miles an hour slower.
Nope.
It'll slow down for you.
Yeah.
If you go out of your lane, the steering wheel will actually shake a little bit.
Yeah.
And you'll get a little flash in the dashboard saying, "Asshole, wake up."
It's how you get home when you drink too much at the bar.
Right.
Well, self-driving.
Like I said earlier, only break one law at a time.
Hey, listen, we're out of time. We're up against the clock here. I got 40 seconds. Not even really time for shout-outs. So anybody who's expecting a shout-out, you'll get it next week. How about that? All right. Exactly. Hey, thanks for watching episode 55. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
Don't drive 55.